you have your Bibles, turn to Luke and Hebrews. Now, we're going to start with Luke, and we're going to go to Hebrews. And Hebrews 13 is the conclusion verse. So we'll start with Luke, and I'll read them both with you this morning. Look in Luke 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed. That's always a word of warning. It's from the Lord of heaven. Beware of covetousness. We're going to look at that. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he goes on to give that famous discourse about the parable of the rich young fool. And then you'll notice in verse number 23, for the life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. In other words, life is a lot more about than what you eat. And, life is a lot more about, what you have on. And we saw some children, saw some people didn't have much. And, we sat there and they wanted to give us empanadas, I think that's what they're called. And they got a chicken or cheese in them, and they cook them in a vat of oil. And one of the church members used to work at the most famous empanada factory on the other side of the church. In other words, probably 200 yards from the church that's on a main highway. And he worked there. So he said, I came in, I was working, and all of a sudden everybody's eating these, whatever you call them, empanadas or something. I don't know what they were, but they were good. And so everybody got them passed out. Anybody want any more? And, of course, then they pulled out coconuts from the coconut tree, and he's got a big machete. You know, we would probably have a coconut opener. You know, you crank it, and it puts a hole. It'd go whack, 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 and rotate it around, whack, whack, whack. And then all of a sudden, he'd hold it up in his hand, and he whacked it to a point. And then he looked at it and goes whack like that and turns it up. And it's got a little hole about the size of your finger. And all that coconut milk was in there. And he poured out in a glass, poured another glass, poured another glass. And then he whacked it in half and cut it out. And everybody had fresh coconut. That was wonderful. And that's the best water they can get. It's coconut milk. That's the cleanest water because the Lord filters it. And so we drank that, some of that. So just had a good time. But I was reminded that life is not about having a nice pair of pants on as a worker, when a lot of the guys had shorts and flip-flops. It's not about what you eat. The empanadas were a delicacy. You'll notice, if you would, we went to McDonald's one day, there were maybe three other families at McDonald's, and they said, well, McDonald's is a luxury. People can't afford McDonald's. And I think you and I have no concept of that, really. I mean, Brother Rob, how would your wife like it if you said, take you on a date and take you to McDonald's? That's not her favorite thing. Nancy, would you like to go on a date with Don about McDonald's? It's just not the thing that you look forward to going to is McDonald's. But we did. After a week of eating chicken and every kind of way you can make it, we were looking forward to a McDonald's hamburger. And it was special. Well, I just want you to notice the principles we're looking at, the various principles of Scripture. This morning it's a principle of covetousness. And I want to give you two words that really sum it up. You'll notice with me, if you would, in verse number 15, Luke 12, 15, take heed and beware. So in other words, just like you, watch out. If someone said there was a snake in the building. Now, my wife just cannot handle mice and rats. That's just not something she can handle. Well, in the little lunchroom that they gave us every morning to eat at, it was a hotel, and they had a little section over the side. And it was a nice little room, but down it sort of went down like this, and down the very end on the left-hand side, there was a hole about that big around. And she said, why in the world they cover that hole up? Don't they know they can, get mice and rats in here? Well, that's where they wash it out, and it goes to that hole. And won't they cover it up? Well, No need to cover it up here, you know. Mice and rats are everywhere. Oh, you know, you could just see her cringe. And so, you know, we ate every morning right above the rice and the mice and the rat hole. Every morning we ate our lunch there, our breakfast there. And as we get done, you know, she's always eyeing that hole. I could see her. You know, I was just praying that one little mouse would just show his head there. I mean, I just wanted to see what would happen, but nothing. Nobody showed up, nothing. It was good. She had a really good time. But I'm reminded now of this word, beware. Okay, I'm aware. That hole, I see that hole. I mean, why don't they cover up that hole? I mean, she was very aware of that. If you've ever been in the South and rattlesnakes in Texas, I mean, you're watching, you're listening to that little shudder. You're watching out for the diamondback on the back of those snakes, very deadly snakes. And you know, when you're going through the bush, by the way, does anybody know where cowboy boots came from? You know, the cowboy boots that would come up almost to your knee to protect you from snake bites. And so they'd wear cowboy boots, and they'd wear them up to here so they could walk through the bush going after cattle and things like that. And if they got bit, it would hit that piece of leather and hopefully not go through and get your leg. And so there's a reason for a lot of things, but the idea is beware. Keep your eyes open. Look. Now, you and I in America, we're not aware of this. We don't notice. As a matter of fact, this one word here literally is pleonectes. It's the desire for more. That's the word covetousness. Desire for more. How many of you know the difference between sirloin steak and ribeye steak? There's a difference, okay? What's your favorite steak cut of meat? Somebody tell me. What's your favorite cut of meat? Somebody tell me. Put your hand. Yes, ma'am.
New York strip.
New York strip, okay. Somebody else, favorite cut of meat. Favorite cut of meat. New York strip.
T-bone.
Pardon me?
T-bone,
okay. That's kind of a compromise. They get you both ways, okay? Then you got somebody else, ribeye?
Ribeye.
Okay, ribeye, T-bone, New York strip. Yes, sir. Tenderloin or
filet.
Or Chateaubriand, you know, you can get the center of the center and the best of the best as far as the cow goes. You know, these big 1,200-pound cows maybe have a 5-pound tenderloin, so that's why it's worth so much. And so, you know, you begin to think about that. And I remember the first time I took Susan out to dinner, my parents were there, and we went to a nice steak restaurant, and she had never had a steak, and so she said, I'll take a hamburger. I said, I don't think they have hamburgers here. Well, whatever. And the dumbest thing I ever did, and I said, okay, give her a filet. That just fixed it for the rest of my life. You know, I'll take a filet. I'll take a filet. I'll take a filet. Why didn't I give her a sirloin? I mean, that would have been a lot smarter. But anyway, we look at it, and we always want a little bit more. So as we're younger, I'll take... Have you ever seen the McDonald's or Burger King? They have a single... What's single mean? Single patty. And then they have what? A double. Two meats. And then they got what? Okay, they got a 4-patty Whopper. And now you know where that comes from? This word. A little bit more. I want a little bit more. And folks, that's the reason the Lord says, beware. So be aware when you go to the Burger King, that quadruple, meated sandwiches about this thick. You begin looking and say, I'd like to have a little bit more. And folks, that's our nature. That's why we have to be aware of it. The principle of covetousness is something the Lord said. You beware. Notice what he says in verse 15. Take heed. Pay attention. Beware. And the take heed is to notice things. Beware is something that's bad can happen. So you can look at things. And when we were going down the road on the way to the church, I'm so thankful for America, but they were expanding the road from two lanes to three lanes on each side, and they just cut out the two center lanes down about this deep, and it was for miles, and it was as wide as these two pews here, these pews right here, and it was just down 5 feet, and you were driving along and 5 feet off. And I said, wow, how do they get by with that? Surely somebody, and they were driving home, there's an 18-wheeler on top of another car, and there another car beside that. That one of them just got the wheels off, not paying attention. Anybody ever been paying, not paying attention necessarily, and you got over into the side of the road where those little rivets are? You go, how many ever done that? You know what I'm talking about? You just drive all of a sudden. Janet's car is terrible, got some things on it. You know, all of a sudden you're driving and you're talking and you're going back and forth. All of a sudden it says, need a coffee break. I don't need a car to tell me I need a coffee break. You know, come on, it's got a little bowl of coffee. It said, need a coffee break. You need a break. And so the idea is, beware. You're getting into a danger zone. And all of the Lord Jesus said 2,000 years ago, beware of one more, a little bit more. Now take your Bible and turn, if you would. We're going to come back to that in just a second. But notice Hebrews chapter 13. Same English word, different Greek word. You'll notice he says in chapter 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Let your lifestyle be without covetousness. Let your word choices be without covetousness. Now, this word is, it's three parts. It's alpha negative, which means not, without. And then it's got phile, love. And then it's got silver, without, the lover of silver. Without the love of shiny things. Without the love of silver. So now let's go back and read it real quick. He says, now let your conversations be without the love of silver and be content with such things as you have. The opposite of covetousness is contentment. And so you put them together, I'd like to have just a little bit more silver. Is anybody in this room say, I got plenty in my 401k, got plenty of money, I don't need another penny? Okay, well, the idea is if I could just get a little bit more, if I can get to this number, if I can get to that number, and then I think I'd feel secure. And so we have to be careful that we don't want a little bit more silver. And that our heart doesn't love silver. It doesn't love a little bit more. So now take just a minute and let's go back, if you would, to Luke. And I want you to see, he sort of gives a little bit of a story here to try to explain. Now, I love the way the Lord teaches. He teaches by stories many times. So notice in verse 16. Remember, he just said, don't let your heart want a little bit more. Make sure you're aware that there is the tendency in your heart for a little bit more. Now, I want you to notice, this is the way we protect ourselves. Lord, I'd like to have this, but not my will, yours be done. That's the only way you can protect yourself from a little bit more. Because we all see it and say, I'd like to have a little bit more, I'd like to have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Imelda Marcos was a Philippine queen, I guess you'd say. And when they left the Philippines, they took her shoes with her, and it was 1,000 pairs of shoes, most of them not even opened. A little bit more. I'd like to have a little bit more. I like those. When would I wear them? I don't know, but I'd have them if I needed them. Notice, if you would, verse number 16. And he spake a parable unto them. Now, this is a story. When he says a parable, it's a story sort of made up to give an example. Okay? He said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what should I do? Because I have no room where to bestow all my fruits. I've been too successful in my farming business. And he said, this I will do. I'll pull down my barns. I'll tear down the barns I got. And I'll build greater barns. And there I will bestow all my goods and my fruits and my goods. And I'll say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So the contentment would come from all the things that he had. And the eating and the drinking and the partying and having a good time, which not necessarily are those things that could be in retirement. Not necessarily are those things bad, But the Lord Jesus is trying to get him to understand you forgot a part. The most important part. And covetousness is focusing in upon the love of silver, which all of us have to have. Everybody here has got to have a refrigerator in America. I don't know how you would keep your food. I mean, it could be done in a ice chest and put it in your garage, I guess. But really to exist and to live, you couldn't sell a house if it didn't have a refrigerator, a place for one. So you and I look at things and say, okay, I need these things, but I can't want them more than something else. Notice, what's the something else? Look in verse number 20. But God said unto him, thou fool. Now, foolishness is bound up in doing something you're doing that's not beneficial on the Lord's side. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So you go to a foreign land and you drive into a little area like that. Those people are not worried about a 401k. Can't even spell it. Don't even know what it is. They're worried about tomorrow. How can I feed my child in the morning? Okay? So their covetousness could be, boy, if I could have a field like that over there with all that food stuff in it. So the level of covetousness is in all of our hearts. It just depends on where our surroundings are. I don't go buy a field of wheat and say, man, I wish I had that wheat field. I don't see that because the end product is what I'm looking for, the bread. Or the end product is what I'm looking for. You know, the potatoes that come out of the field. I'm looking for the potato. I'm looking for the potato with the salt on the outside of it and wrapped in a foil and a little bit of butter on it. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not going out in the field looking, pulling up there. There's me. That's what I'm really wanting that. Okay, notice what he says here. Verse 21. So is he. Here's the example. So is he. Everybody on earth, so is he, just like that foolish man that layeth up treasure for himself. Okay? Covetousness is laying up treasure for yourself or for your family or for you and yours. Now, watch. And is not rich toward God. There's the definition of covetousness. The best definition ever given by Jesus Christ. Laying up for yourselves and not rich toward God. And folks, that's really why our church exists. That's why I want people to go on a missions trip, is because it sort of opens your eyes a bit to something all of us have to be very aware of. And it's almost impossible to be aware of it. It's almost impossible. Because unless you're facing something, you don't think about it. And our minds in America go toward the things we have or don't have. And mostly don't have. Notice, if you would, in verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore, because I've warned you about covetousness and because I've given you an example of covetousness, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on it. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And then he gives an example. Consider the ravens. And now ravens are, they are scavengers. And notice, for they neither sow nor reap. Now, you have to understand the context. The whole context is about watching out for covetousness. It's not that you shouldn't plant and sow and reap. He's not saying that. And many people will try to go to his example, but you have to go to the whole context. And the context is said, look, don't you concern yourself overly about your fields. Don't you concern yourself overly about your job. Don't you concern yourself overly about your vehicles or about your clothes or about your children's health. Don't overly concern yourself about that. Notice what he says. He says this in verse number 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. They cannot lay up for tomorrow. And so the idea is this. Now look here. A part of covetousness is you and I having a storehouse. We lay something up for tomorrow. The Lord is not saying that you shouldn't do that. He's saying that shouldn't be where your love of heart is. That's covetousness. So it's okay to have a 401k. It's okay to have a field of potatoes. It's okay to have a pasture with cattle in it. But don't let that be, oh, look at my cattle. This rich man said, wow, I've got so much. I'll just tear these barns down and build up another, and I can take my ease. There was his goals in life. Let your goal in life to be lay up. Now notice what he says in verse number 25. And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? So if you worried about it, how many of you could worry about how tall you are and say, I don't like to be 2 inches taller. What good does that do? And he said, so why are you worrying about tomorrow when you're not promised tomorrow? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. He is not saying don't plan for the future. He is not saying don't lay up for yourselves when you get older. He's not saying don't get ready for retirement. But notice what he is saying in verse number 26. If ye then, being not able to do that which is least, you can't even add an inch to your stature, he says, why take thought for the rest? Why worry about the things that God can control? And only he can really control it. So the idea of covetousness is when we take over the duties of God your Father, we become covetous. We become distrustful of the Lord. Folks, beware. Covetousness is, I'll take care of me and mine. It's not, Lord. Now keep reading, verse 27. Consider the lilies. So he's given the example of the rich man. He's given the example of the raven. One laid up in store. One would be somebody we consider to be very successful. Everyone would be like. Nobody wants to be like the raven. And notice verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. They spin not. He says, why are you laboring to kill yourself to get a little bit more money? Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all this glory is not arrayed like one of these. The Lord can take care of you and I. Verse number 29. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind, a distrustful mind, a worryful mind. Notice this, verse 30. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. It's universal. Everybody wants a little more. That's why covetousness is everywhere. You may say, look, covetousness is not everywhere. I've seen people that two rocks and break them all day long for a dollar. And they'll look over and see somebody else has got a pile twice as big and want that pile. That's covetousness. It's when we cease to say, Lord, would you help my pile to grow, but I'll leave the decision in your hand and the blessing in your hand. That protects from covetousness. Now watch what he says. He said, verse 31, the last part of verse 30, and your father knoweth that you have need of these things. So we don't trust the father to take care of the things he knows we need. There's where covetousness comes in. And it's worldwide. Now follow with me, verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. Get your priorities right. You see, covetousness is a simple matter of priorities. That's all it is. Priorities are wrong. I want what I want first before I want what God wants. Now notice, if you would, verse number 32, fear not, little flock. One of the most tender statements the Lord Jesus would ever say. Fear not, little flock. A little flock is very helpless. A little flock of sheep is very helpless. Animals, wolves can come in and tear it apart. There's no fear struck in anybody's heart when they see a little flock of sheep. So he says, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is your Father's good pleasure to take care of you. Now follow with me. Verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Folks, you and I have got to understand that everything in this life we have to hold like this with palms open. The second we do this, we start getting greedy and covetous. A little bit more. A little more silver. I do love silver. I do love what silver can provide for me. I love this. I love that. And folks, it's an innate ingredient in every human's life. The question is, will we turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, I will trust you to take care of me? Or will we try to take care of it ourselves? Now, let's go back over a few of the Hebrews. I want you to notice Hebrews 13. And we'll close. Now, you might think these don't go together. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what the Lord is saying? The most important thing you could desire is me. That's the most important thing you could desire. And I'm never going to leave you. So be content. You have me. Be content. Most people do not put content with the next part of the verse. You'll notice he says, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Contentedness is in him. It's not in a little bit more. Look, my wife and I, we have a budget. I've lived by budget my whole life. I'm looking forward to getting to heaven where there's no more budgets. I'm looking forward to that. We're a church living by budget, you know. There are people make livings by budgetizing things. You can do this, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. When we were seeing each other early, she said, I hate budgets. I said, oh, my goodness. Oh, no. Here's a girl who really loves to shop. She said, but I hate to shop. I went, well, that don't make any sense. I found out she lied to me. She does like to shop. No, I'm kidding. Well, she didn't lie to me. She just likes to go look this and that and buy for other people. That's what she likes to do. I mean, she didn't buy herself anything, but she loves to shop for other people, especially 19 grandkids. That's what she really likes to go buy for. And I look at it and I say, ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. You know, couldn't we just trust the Lord to take care of the money? Let's just do that. Let's avoid covetousness and trust the Lord to take care of them. And so, you know, now notice if you would, in verse number 6. Now, like this passage, keep in mind, it goes with the passage, let your conversation be without covetousness. The first one is be content. Make your heart with what you've got's enough. Because number 2, you have the Lord. And number 3, verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. I will trust the Lord. He is my strength. And folks, today, covetousness, what I can do, what I want, what I need, more this, more that, contentment, have all that I need, I have you, Lord. And folks, today, it's a battle all around us. We have to be careful that everything God provides for us does not become the treasure of our heart. There's where covetousness starts. That's the treasure of my heart. Children, you can be covetous of your children. You can be covetous of anything. Remember, the reason you don't have to be covetous is because the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He wants you and I to take him and say, you are all that I need. That is the permanent solution for covetousness. You are all that I need. I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my strength. Today, are you a little bit fearful and worried about things of the future? Remember, the ravens don't worry about tomorrow. Remember, the lilies of the valley look beautiful and then they're gone. Let you and I say, Lord, take away from my heart the treasures of this life and put them on things of heaven. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things should be added unto you. Covetousness is a matter of priority. Him first, realizing he is enough. Is he enough for you? Or are you still looking for more? Lord Jesus, I'm thankful that I was reminded this week of covetousness, how dangerous it can be. And Lord, the reason, the danger is that it could take away our love for you as first in everything that we do. Our love for heaven as first in everything that we do. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts today. Protect us from the awful sin of covetousness. Lord, I want a little bit more. I do love silver. In your name we pray. Amen.